Today I'm going to talk about how to open the door to the healing spirit. And the first order of business would be to describe what I mean by that healing spirit. I think this healing spirit, or God, or infinite intelligence, or the supreme being, that energy, that force, is always available to us. And the difference between the lives that we want and the lives that we have is our interference or lack of awareness about how to access that. So that's what this is going to be about today. I deal with lots of different clients, and some of whom have been the victims of rape or sexual abuse. And it is the energy of those experiences that has created a different trajectory for their lives. And if they hadn't had those experiences, or if they hadn't given certain meanings to those certain experiences, their lives would have arced in totally different ways. And it is that giving meaning to our experiences can either support us in the creation of the lives that we want, or those meanings contribute to creating a discrepancy between the life we have and the life we want. So I think in terms of the collision of energy that captures, and I do mean captures, our attention, that collision of energy causes our attention to be captured. And literally that event, that capturing of our attention, can extend for days, weeks, months, and years and years. It's not uncommon to hear somebody at any age, 50, 60, 70, 80, to be speaking of an event that occurred in childhood that still grabs their attention. The challenge for that is if our energy is captured by an event in early childhood, that energy, that attention, that intellectual focus is no longer available to us to apply to present time activities or projects or the accomplishment of particular goals. If we were talking about a collision that occurred with automobiles, we would consider it normal to have dents in the car worked on by a skilled repair person, somebody whose career and job it is to repair dents in automobiles. And we would take the car, under normal circumstances, to an auto body repair shop. And that's where a person would take out the dents, replaced parts, bumpers, for instance, that were totally damaged and had to be replaced and not repaired. The paint would be repainted, the exterior would be repainted. And so when they were done, the external appearance of the car would essentially be what it was before the collision. We don't refer to that activity of taking a car to the body shop as healing. We don't say, I need to take my damaged vehicle to the body shop so it can be healed. That's not what we say. Instead, we say or use words like fixed, repaired, repainted, and so on to describe what's being done. When the human body is damaged by an energetic collision, and the damage is either spiritual or mental or emotional or physical, we refer to the repair and restoration process as healing. So where are the repair shops for the human body? Where do we go for healing? To me, this is the area that is commonly misunderstood and is problematic. So if you think of it, for some people, they interpret going to church or the temple or the mosque as being the place to go to repair spiritual damage. For mental emotional damage, we hear promoted all the time the idea that the psychiatrist's couch and the medication he or she would prescribe is where the healing is going to come from. Support groups provide structure for people whose framework of reality has been severely shaken. So that is, for some people, the repair shop. And then hospitals and doctors' offices are commonly viewed as repair places. The truth of that, though, statistically, is lots of damage actually can occur in hospitals and doctors' offices that didn't exist prior to visiting those two places. So there's evidence, though, that some of these approaches can help in the realignment of energies after the effects of a collision has become known. But actual healing is beyond the scope or capabilities of all external agents, including priests, rabbis, ministers and mullahs, doctors, dentists, shrinks, surgery, medication. Healing is an inside job. And by becoming aware that a healing spirit seeks to flow to us and through us, can start to open the door to that healing. It's empowering. External agents, including me in this conversation that I'm now having, may facilitate a person's alignment with the healing spirit, but this is not where healing comes from. Healing comes from the healing spirit and the right and responsibility of an individual to access that healing spirit. That belongs to all of us as individuals. It doesn't belong to somebody who dispenses it. It belongs to each of us, and that's how we can access it. We need to realize that external circumstances, external objects and devices, external processes imposed from the outside are effects caused by us or caused by other people. As such, the effects, they don't have the power to control us unless we deliberately give our power over to them. We disempower ourselves in relation to an effect that we could be experiencing, including effects that we've created for ourselves. When we give up self-determinism, our ability to think for ourselves, our imagination, our creativity, we weaken ourselves. When we accept, without evaluation, other people's rules or their beliefs or their prejudices, we are literally denying our power to cause healing in our lives. I think in terms of healing being a process of organizing information in a useful way. Let me repeat that. Healing is a process of organizing information in a useful way. I think human beings, by our very nature, are both organized information. Here we are in it. As our bodies, we're organized a certain way. Hairdos in a certain way, wearing certain clothing, eat certain foods, certain appearances, and so on. We are organized information. And very importantly, we are organizers of information. As we step into this aspect of our nature, we can feel it on a physical and emotional level, the sense of connecting to our core, our true essence, when we start organizing information for our benefit. Organizing information requires the recognition, creation, and acceptance of an organizing principle. Some organizing principles are programmed into living beings. I use this experience or this idea. The fear of pain and hurt. The fear of pain and hurt is an organizing principle. If it's in a useful perspective in an appropriate situation, that principle can contribute to the survival and has over the centuries of us as a species. There are lots of organizing principles. Some of them are made up by us. They're all labeled one way or another by us or other people. Gravity, for instance, pre-existed us, I suppose. So gravity on planet Earth is an organizing principle. And you go, well, okay. Yep. we put our chairs and tables on the floor versus the ceiling, because we take into consideration this aspect of gravity. Yep, okay, I'm going to put heavy things on the bottom so they don't fall from a ceiling, for instance. Gravity can be very convenient if you recognize it is an organizing principle. And we generally do until we drop a glass of water or drop an egg or we are walking and we trip and fall. Then all of a sudden it's like, whoops, and it becomes inconvenient. But as we recognize how to work within the scope of this organizing principle, we can become effective at it, and it takes practice. That principle of gravity to a young child in a crib is kind of an unusual experience, trying to stand, falling. And also that child, when they're ready to start taking their initial steps, takes a degree of balance and coordination and how to come to terms, how to develop a skillful, effective relationship with this organizing principle called gravity. Some organizing principles are really rules or beliefs that are rooted in prejudices. You can hear this when you start hearing things becoming politicized or statements made about races or ethnic groups or nationalities or religions. Then these prejudices, these organizing principles that people are using to create their lives, or start to take on a very active and oftentimes detrimental aspect. Some of these organizing principles, these rules or these beliefs, come from times in our lives that were appropriate to that time and place, but now, fast forward to 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years later, they're irrelevant, but nonetheless we hold on to them as a means to organize or to control or to structure our living. Let me go back to that fear of pain and being hurt. That principle is connected to our physicality. And when we use that as, I'll say, a main organizing principle, then we start to recognize the potential for hurt and pain in more circumstances, in more situations, in more environments, and now we start to reduce the size of our comfort zone, the size of our activity, the areas in which we're willing to go into intellectually, physically, emotionally. And so we just start to narrow our world. We start to shrink our world in an effort to avoid hurt and pain. We would be much better off looking at that statement, that principle, and seeing how we could change that so we open ourselves up, not close ourselves down in response to the natural physiological reaction to that sort of a belief. We're not going to be able to eliminate threats from our lives, but we can create different organizing principles around them. We can see ourselves as resilient in our ability to heal and so on. To be able to look at these organizing principles, and if they are not useful to us, is to revise them. If there are areas in our lives that would benefit from healing, I'd say it is likely that there is a lack of useful organizing principles. And that lack of organizing principles is what is hindering our healing. We have a lot of cliches, but people actually organize their lives around that. Let me just say this. I see an organizing principle as an individually established form of gravity. By having a principle of our choosing or not, it acts like horizontal gravity. It will bring things, it will structure our experiences around this core principle. And if it's not working for us, it's time to choose another one. And there are lots of them out there, and a lot of them don't serve. For instance, life is hard, then you die. Not too useful, not too convenient. Another one is that if you can't do it right, don't do it at all. That's nonsense. Can you imagine if our parents said to that the first time we tried to stand up? That would have been devastating. That's a terrible input. But we use that, some people use that, and it goes in conjunction with this idea. Don't be wrong. Don't make a mistake. As if that, those couple of statements will facilitate our success and happiness. No, they won't. No, they won't. And it is time, if those things are active, is to deliberately, intentionally revise them to be more meaningful. How about these as organizing principles? What would we experience if we adopted this on a deep level? You are blessed. Becoming aware of the abundant blessings in your life is your main job. There is more growth in warm conditions than in cold conditions, and we can provide the attitudinal warmth by ourselves. Energy flows where attention goes. We pretty much all understand that and have accepted that as an organizing principle nowadays. We are the co-creators of our experience. Self-love is the major step in the direction of health and happiness. We can have what we decide we want when we allow ourselves to experience it. Awareness of who we really are will lead us to know what we really can accomplish. The universal force called God is delivering gifts to us. Allowing and accepting are our jobs. Knowing we are cause helps us access the healing spirit. Several more. It is all good. To me, that means we can discern the good at the root of all circumstances, in every effect, if we look for the good. Fun is how we describe the very short time and distance between being cause and seeing the expected effects. God loving and supporting us is a given. Self-love and self-care are the variables we can become effective at. Those are just some examples of if we adopted that as an organizing principle, as our mantra, as our truth focus statement, as our standard point of view, that is the ground that we stand on, it seems inevitable that things of a healing nature, of a loving nature, of a prospering nature would flow to us because we have directed, through our ability to cause, this energy flow. Three final points. One, any discrepancy between the condition you want to experience, health, financial, family, career, etc., and the condition you now find yourself in is due to the unawareness of your true connectedness to the healing spirit. We're in the ocean of good. If we're unaware of it, we're unaware of it. The organizing principle for us could be knowing our connection to the healing spirit. That's, I want to know my connection to the healing spirit. That is causative. And now all of a sudden there's an openness. We open the door to it. Point two, our connection, our relationship with God, that is the healing spirit, can be anything we want it to be and anything we will allow it to be. For our good, the good of our families, good of our friends, the good of the planet, I say, make it up. Make it up. make it up to be wonderful, design it to be useful to us. Design it to help you create the experiences you want. And the final point is that the door to the healing spirit is in our hearts, not in our head, not in our minds. It's in our hearts, which says if we go into our hearts, if we drop down, if we put our awareness into that heart space, see what it feels like, see how much self-love we can muster, see how much good feelings we can have about ourselves. And from that place, from that heart space, watch what happens in your life as it unfolds. Because the door to the healing spirit has been opened by you, and self-love primes that pump, sets all that energy in motion, and it's good for you. It's good for everybody who thinks of you, sees you, has any kind of connection at all with you. And that is everybody. Dear God, thank you for all of our blessings. Bless all of us. Bless all people and things important to us. Bless us as the vehicles of your expression. Help us to have fun, model love and joy, excitement, enthusiasm for other people. Help us to know that your spirit flows to us and through us, and we can align with that, we can play with that, we can be thrilled by it. Thank you.